God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for our sermon today is from the gospel reading, but also keeping in mind living by faith from the epistle reading and all the examples of that, teaching us and how it ends, that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. When Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Our text for our meditation today. As Jesus said last week, consider the lilies, consider the ravens. They neither toil nor sow, and your heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more will he take care of you? As Jesus is teaching us to consider the lilies, he is teaching us to consider God's mercy for us. However, now as the disciples hear this was our reading just last week in Luke 12, but now, just as the disciples hear this wonderful message about considering the lilies, Jesus warns them and says, not everybody is going to want to consider the lilies. In fact, there are going to be some who hate you for considering the lilies. Now, it's not really the lilies, right? But the division that comes in our world is because we belong to God the Father Almighty. The world doesn't mind if we consider the lilies. But what the devil hates, and what the world tries to keep us from doing, is to be led by the Holy Spirit to the higher lesson in contemplating God's love for us in Christ. This is truly what brings peace and unity. Christ. But the very thing that finally brings unity must first bring division. Division from our own sins, division from the sins of the world, and finally division from death. This is what Christ comes to bring. And this the devil cannot stand. The devil hates anyone who belongs to Christ. The devil hates when God's people divide themselves from a life of chasing the pleasures of this world and living a life by faith. The devil hates that. And so what sounded like a harmless thought last week, consider the ravens. Consider the lilies. This is really an act, a declaration of war. Faith in Christ Jesus and that his cross was for your sins, that Jesus Christ is crucified and raised for you, is an act of war on the devil and all those things our sinful nature loves. The cross and resurrection of Jesus is war against a desire to not live by faith, but for us to live by sight. And that war that Jesus Christ declares on our sin divides. You hear Jesus talking about families and division, the very place where there should be peace and unity. Jesus says this will be the very place where the war is the most intense. Now in our house, with my family, it's easy to start an all-out war with just one simple phrase. Whose turn is it to do the dishes? The shot heard round the world. Not me, I did them yesterday. Oh, I have to do homework. Dad, I'm not feeling so good. Battle lines are drawn. Division. Or maybe, as in my extended family, maybe in yours as well, one word, one phrase can bring division against family friends. At Christmas time, you can say hook 'em horns and you're banned from Christmas dinner. Democrat, Republican, division and war. One of the temptations of our age, in every age, is to think that all division is bad. To think that division is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to a point it is. But there's also the plain fact that we have today what Jesus says, that he has come to bring a particular division. We have earlier in the Gospels when Jesus says we are to be one in him. And that's the key to understanding verses where Jesus speaks of bringing division, where he also speaks of, if you do not hate your father and mother, if you're not willing to follow me, you are not worthy. Jesus uses division for our good. He is coming to divide us against all that would threaten to take our faith away. God is a jealous God, and he does not desire to share you with any other so-called God that we might bow down to worship, even if it's our own family. And that one false God that we chase often after here in this life, we're so often willing to sacrifice, what is the phrase? Peace in the family. For the truth. It is true that when Jesus was born, when he became our brother, the angels did say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. However, the angels can say that because they know that once Jesus is born, his war against the devil and evil is all but completed. Once God becomes man, peace will once again reign. The angels know that Jesus will not fail. The angels do not falter. The angels can sing peace on earth because they themselves are willing to fight. St. Paul says, we have battles, spiritual battles going on all around us that we don't even see. The angels, the good angels, will not compromise. That's why they can say peace on earth, because they will not doubt. They know that God will not lose. The angels, who always see the face of God, they know who God is. And they are also warriors. They know the battle is coming, but one little word can destroy the devil. Jesus. The name of Jesus, mentioning here in this world, in this fallen world, is like saying, make America great again at an Antifa rally. Like build back better at CPAC. Division comes. And Jesus speaks of this division, this battle. He says the tool of this division, he calls it his baptism, where he's going to cast fire on this world. And so we know from other texts, in particular Mark 10, when Jesus speaks of his cross and suffering as a baptism of fire. So we know that here Jesus is speaking about his suffering and death when he says, I have come to bring fire, and oh, how I wish it were kindled. Jesus is speaking about his suffering and death, where he will be divided from his Father, where he will be divided from the land of the living, where the fire of God's wrath will be cast upon him, and all that separates us from God will be burned away, the purifying aspect of fire. And Jesus says, how I am in distress until it happens, it's painful. And you too know that pain. That difficulty. For so often our hearts don't follow exactly what God says. Our hearts are more willing to compromise than to stand for truth. And it's appropriate then that Jesus speaks of fire being cast on earth when he's talking about his cross, because he says also another word that clues us in to what he's talking about. He says, how great is my distress until it is accomplished, or until it is finished. Jesus desires to go to the cross to battle, to live by faith, even when his own family abandons him. Even when he calls out to his Father, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus breathes his last on the cross, he uses that same word that he uses today. It is accomplished. Or in English, it's most often translated, it is finished. But here, Jesus uses that same word to teach us, and also to teach us when we see him on the cross, when he is suffering the most, when he looks the most abandoned by even God, as you yourself might feel, he uses this same word he speaks today. It is accomplished. He is following his Father's will and will not compromise. The angels know the division is coming, which brings peace. But we don't always listen to the angels. Too often we're more concerned about keeping peace in this life at the expense of truth. We want the status quo. We don't want our waters to be in turmoil. Because ultimately, we don't want to live by faith. Our sinful flesh tries to lead us to live by satisfaction. To say, yes, my life is good. Why would I want to cause trouble? Jesus today points out that this will be where the devil really tries to attack us, when division comes to our families. A child decides to no longer go to church. A parent decides to encourage and compel their child to participate in sports, and that there's more concern for grades in school than the knowledge of God's word. The many things we make idols out of. Or when kids move out of the house and not a word is spoken about what a Christian life looks like. Do you think the devil loves your children? Do you think he's not going to throw everything that we love in our face to get us to give up the fight? Or when a family member decides that money and leisure time is more important than a Christian life? Division. It's easy to sweep it under the rug. None of us likes conflict. But we must acknowledge that the devil will make you choose. He will make you choose and then blame Jesus. Our sinful flesh won't even want to acknowledge the division. Hold it inside. Don't worry. However, when we see division where there should be unity, it is difficult, but we must not give up. We must not lose heart. We must keep praying, living by faith, and living a life as a witness that what Christ instructs us in is truly the better life. Status quo and an easy life is not the goal for God's people. Eternal life and the glory of Christ. Not our glory, but his. We keep praying. We live by faith. For you see, when things don't go how we wish they would, it's a reminder that we need to live by faith. Living by faith is our goal. Not living a life where there is no difficulty. In addition, as Jesus says today, he says, you should be able to see things going on in life and know that what I'm saying is true. Jesus says that when his words come true, when we see division in our family, it should remind us of this passage. That Jesus knows what he's talking about. His words will come true. But the very thing that causes division is finally the very thing that will bring unity. Because there is no peace in money, there is no peace in possessions, there is no peace with our kids being successful, nice people. Are you proud that your kids are wealthy? Are you proud that they're nice people? Are you proud that your friends have a big business and it's booming, but yet they don't have faith? There is not peace for us to find when we can finally say, well, I got my schedule figured out. Everything's in line. Or once my health is back up to par, then life will be back to normal. No, these are all things that are good. Yes, indeed. But in our lives here today, Jesus is warning us that these will tempt us to give them priority over Christ. These are the things that we will seek more than the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. We don't lose anything by being Christian. We don't forsake anything in the end by being faithful. There is no time that a Christian can sit back and say, well, I have no more struggles in this life. When you get to that point, you really should evaluate your life and repent. Do you think the devil has finally left you alone? Or do you think you've become accustomed to sin? Do you think the devil says, I'm not going to tempt these Christians with the things they love? No, that's precisely what the devil tempts us with. Because he hates all the gifts that God has given you. This is precisely why Jesus was willing to be cut off from his Father for our sins. We, his brothers and sisters, Jesus is willing to be separated, to be divided, because he knows how defeated we can become. He knows how we fall for temptation, how when the battle gets long, how we get tired, how we're more afraid of being popular than we are of hell. We're more afraid of upsetting our family than we are at obeying Christ. And yet, this is who Jesus comes for. Jesus comes for the brokenhearted. He comes for the destitute. He comes for those who know their weaknesses and are not afraid to confess them. He comes for those who want to change. When Jesus says he comes to bring division, that division is a division from your sin. Everything you hate, even when you might think you hate yourself for your sins, when you remember that you yourself weren't so faithful in your youthful years, when you didn't prioritize faith, when you would rather have unity with the world and your sinful desires, when you kept silent, when you should have spoken up. Yes, those sins were divisive, and they keep you from being righteous. However, Christ Jesus uses his power as God of God to live a life on your behalf, to give you a truly beautiful and forgiven life, where God doesn't see any of your sins. He forgives you and makes you clean as white snow. Christ Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. Jesus is willing to be faithful even when it cost him his life. Jesus was willing to be divided from his family, separated from his Father, so that you would be made sons of God by faith. And that family bond cannot be taken away. When God brings you into his family, there is no division. Because salvation is by faith, not by accomplishments. As sure as those baptismal waters touched your head, as sure as when you eat the body and blood of Jesus, there is a division. We see the fulfillment of God telling Jeremiah in our Old Testament reading, "Am I not a God who's at hand? He is a God that is near us. His blood poured out on us in baptism. His blood poured into our mouths at the sacrament, where he comes not to divide us from him, but to divide us from the world that hates him. He comes to divide you from uncertainty. There is not true peace in this life apart from Christ. But with Christ, we have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus says finally, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Indeed, we consider this passage as a reflection to examine our lives, and what do we seek after more than Christ? We should also notice that Jesus has given his heart so that we are his treasure. Where Jesus' heart is given, there is his treasure. You belong to him, because he's brought division to separate you even from death. He has separated you from all your sins. God is not at war with you, but he has fought and won the battle already against the devil. And now he invites you to live by faith, to trust in his mercy and promises to never leave you nor forsake you, even when you feel all alone. Your God will never leave you. And may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.